Hello, runners. Welcome to another episode of Tread Lightly. I am your co-host and running coach, Amanda Brooks of Run to the Finish.
And I'm your co-host and running coach, Laura of Laura Norris Running.
So even if this is not something that you are currently dealing with, I think just talking about running through pregnancy is really fascinating to sort of understand what's happening, what's changed, how can you maybe support a friend who's going through it, or gosh, look back at an experience you had and say, huh, how are things different now? Because I feel like even in the last 3 years, recommendations have changed.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it's one of those things, like, again, even if you'll never experience this, it's about public perception of running and sport and exercise in relation to different phases of life. So hopefully, even if this doesn't directly impact you, you stick around and listen, because I think there's some good content here today about running through pregnancy. So we have a listener question from C. Wallowitz, and they asked, can you ever do too much base building? I ran a half marathon last May, and since have only ran 1 to 2 times per week and doing random Peloton classes. My thoughts were, I'd like to do a marathon in May 2025. Can I spend this year building up my base and working on strength training before I start marathon training next year?
I feel like I am in base building 3/4 of the year, so I hope the answer is no, you can't do too much. I think honestly, any consistency that you're putting into your fitness and your running is going to benefit you once you get into a race-specific training cycle. So for me, as long as you're enjoying it and you're just kind of in that place of like keeping up your fitness, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong. And like, if you do begin to feel like you're plateauing or regressing, it's probably not base building itself causing that. It might just be that you've adapted and you need some progressive overload. Like maybe you're ready to bump up by even a couple miles per week or bring in some more hill workout, like hilly runs or something, but there's nothing wrong with just building general fitness. And as I think we've talked about before, base building is mostly easy running, but it's not only easy running. You can do strides, you can do fartleks, progression runs, moderate, gentler workouts that can add enough variety to keep you engaged for a longer base building phase.
100%. And even just building up that long run as you're getting closer to the point where you want to start training, so those miles are a little longer, all will be super beneficial to kind of have you in the right space.
Yes. And kudos to this listener for thinking so ahead and making sure they're ready to run a marathon. I think that's something to be applauded.
Amen. Okay. So I think this is an interesting topic for me as a running coach. Obviously, it's something I personally have not experienced. And so over the years, there were times where I thought, oh my gosh, am I really equipped to help people with this? But then what I have quickly seen through coaching so many people is that the experience that almost everyone has is so vastly different. And so understanding a lot of like physiology, what's happening, what are the current recommendations is important. But then it's a lot of personal, how are you feeling and what is your body actually doing? So I think that's just an important note of like, not comparing your experience, whether that's week one or week 32, to whatever you might see someone else doing.
Yeah. And I only have one kid, but I've seen this with other athletes that I coach. If you have multiple pregnancies, don't compare your second pregnancy to your first pregnancy and how much you ran through it. Like, it's both across individual differences, but then intra-individual differences in how you feel. So it's really taking it day by day and letting go of any comparisons to yourself included.
Let's start by kind of looking at what are some of the basic medical recommendations, what's currently coming out, what's changed. I think the most basic, most obvious one that we will always say is see your doctor. So have your checkup, make sure that everything is okay for you. And usually when we're talking about running and they're saying it's fine to be running, it's coming from a place of assuming that you already are a runner and not that you're pregnant and now you're suddenly taking up a new super intense exercise. So that is always kind of part of that discussion. They need to understand what you've been doing to help them, you know, make recommendations as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And when I had my like first appointment, I think it's like 7 or 9 weeks, I can't remember, it's like 4 years ago, that you go in and you have, but that first appointment, like I was very clear to my doctor. I was like, this is how much I'm running right now. This is what I've done in the past, the intensity and stuff. So don't feel like you're giving them too much detail. It probably really helps them when they give recommendations to understand what running exactly looks like for you, because saying I run could mean I run 30 minutes three times a week, or I run 60 miles per week.
Yeah. So I know one of the basic recommendations out there from the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists still states and still agrees with the idea that 30 minutes or more of moderate exercise on most, if not all, days of the week is actually recommended, assuming there's no issues. So that's kind of our, you know, baseline is yes, we want you to be active. It doesn't have to just be a slow walk, like moderate exercise. It's fully recommended. Then we start to get into some of like the, well, this used to be what we recommended. It was like, oh, we don't know if you should get your heart rate up or not get your heart rate up. That's maybe not okay. So I did see what they came out with in 2020 that they've already kind of changed.
Yes. So in 2020, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology said that fairly light to somewhat hard perceived intensity and at roughly 60 to 80% of age predicted max heart rate has been recommended. And, you know, even before that, there was always like, oh, your heart rate shouldn't get over 140 beats per minute. But this has now changed to say that you need to watch for signs. So RPE is probably your best guide. As we've talked about before, heart rate can really vary across individuals, but then it can vary even more during pregnancy as you experience all these physiological changes. There's not a ton of research on what happens if you do hard workouts, but as we'll get to in a bit, there is some research at least on safety with heart rate around like 90% max. It's, you know, but it's very much going to be focused on RPE. Like this isn't the time to do 100% super hard maximal training, but you can probably do decent amounts of effort if you're smart about it.
Yeah, it was really interesting trying to find data or actual studies. And that was kind of the conclusion, was like, there's not a lot of studies. So a lot of the recommendations that have ever been given were just sort of guesstimates, because we didn't really know. I was only even able to find one like really small study that had 15 women who did HIIT workouts throughout pregnancy. And they found mother and baby had no health issues, no premature births, no anything. Again, 15 women is like not enough to be a study of like, okay, well, it's good for you. But interesting just to see that there's so little data on it to like make hard and fast rules for anyone.
Oh yeah. And I think that's where like the construction of studies and the ethical limitations around research come into play. Like obviously researchers can't do anything that would actually endanger the fetus. So that already puts some parameters around it. And then it's getting study participants. Like even if the study is safe and it's within ethical limits, are people who are pregnant going to want to participate in a study that has certain interventions? So that does make it really difficult to make these recommendations. Now, there was a 2012 study in the British Journal of Sports Medicine that did take participants and have them exercise at below and above 90% max heart rate, which is like kind of around threshold for some people, maybe harder than threshold for others. And below 90% max heart rate, fetal heart rate was unaffected. Above 90% max heart rate, there was a temporary drop in uterine blood flow, but then it quickly returned to normal. And all the participants delivered healthy babies that were a healthy birth weight. I think there's been like repeats or similar constructions of the study that brought forth similar findings, but that does go to show like it's it's safe to a pretty high intense point. Like honestly, when you're pregnant, 90% of max heart rate feels really, really uncomfortable. So your body's probably going to throw in the brakes by the time it would get unsafe.
Yeah, 90% is pretty hard all the time. So that's just extra impressive to me. I think one of the other things we often hear about is not getting too hot. So not exercising in super hot conditions and some of that. And I did find one study that I thought was pretty interesting. Now, again, it was only 30 women. They were in a controlled environment. So instead of just out in the world, they were in a specific room that they actually exercised for 45 minutes up to 90 degrees Fahrenheit at 45% humidity. Oh, this is just Miami running in the middle of the day. That's not comfortable. But after doing it, they found like no issues, minimal risk of overheating, actually. So some of those concerns that I think I've certainly heard that for a lot of women, like, in the summer, you're going to need to, it needs to be cooler when you exercise. That may be a little bit less of an actual issue than we think. So again, this is going to come back to you paying attention to how you feel. I wouldn't want to exercise in that regardless, but just maybe taking some of the worry or concern out of it, it seems like it may not be the issue we thought.
Yeah. And I know like there is still stuff in place of like, don't use hot tubs. This certainly is not the time for sauna or hot tub or heat acclimation interventions when you're pregnant. But again, like this can remove some of the concerns. And, you know, as someone who I was in my third trimester over the summer, like I have a September baby and you're so uncomfortable already as it is in the heat that more than likely, if you're listening to your body, you're going to adjust in these conditions, take more walk breaks, like just be smart, listen to your body and try not to overreach path. Like I set for myself the point of like, I don't want to go harder than a threshold run feels, just as extra safety measure. So like set up guidelines for yourself so you're not having to make choices mid-run, but also don't think that everything is going to be bad for you.
And I think that's a good point too. So sort of setting that, here's the effort level I don't want to go past, and still keeping yourself to the idea of 80-20, the majority of my run should not feel like threshold run. So everything is feeling a little different, a little harder. So yes, you may be slowing down more. You may be doing run walk when you've never used it before. You may be like, this is just uncomfortable and all I'm going to do is walk. So I think being true to that sort of rate of perceived exertion is really, really important.
It is. It is really important. And like that was how I approached it during my pregnancy. I was able to run the entire time, but like that was just how it worked out for me. But also like it changed from the start when I was able to do some, you know, intervals early on in pregnancy to the end when I was using run walk. So it's going to shift even staying within those parameters you set for yourself.
Yep. I've definitely had some athletes where like first trimester was their worst. They felt awful. We did nothing. And then all of a sudden, things sort of clicked back. We had some speed workouts in the second and then just slowed down a little in the third. And others, again, more like you, it flipped. Like they started out pretty hard charging and then sort of tapered off as they were like, okay, well, this is not as comfortable as I thought it was going to be for me. So I think it's really important to be open to the experience that you're having. I think it's, you know, really easy to sort of idealize it in our head. We see other people run all the way through and think, oh yeah, that's going to be me. I'm going to run all the way through and then I'm going to have a jogging stroller. And like, we have great ideas, right? When we see other people out there, but just be open to what your experience is and don't feel like there is a pressure to follow any sort of set format or pattern because it really is different.
It really is. And then while we're on the topic of like safety and myths, I think it is really important because I'm sure there will be some well-meaning people in your life who say this and they're misinformed. There is no data out there that shows that running or exercise can cause miscarriage even early in pregnancy. I think a really good way to think about it is when you're pregnant, you're told not to eat deli meat from the start because there is this extremely low 12 in 100,000 chance that you end up with listeria, which can be dangerous during pregnancy. And so if we think about how small of a chance that eating deli meat poses, if there was any risk with running, your doctor would tell you not to from the start. It wouldn't be even something they entertain. It would be on that list of deli meat and sushi and alcohol. But it's not on those lists. Doctors are usually supportive of it. And therefore, like, we can kind of remove that concern about miscarriage. Now, if you have unusual situations like you're bleeding or your placenta's in a weird area, or you've done IVF or stuff, your doctor might tell you otherwise, and always follow your doctor's guidance on that. We're talking just general pregnancy safety.
Yep. One other study that I did think was interesting, or I think useful for a lot of people, was the American College of Sports Medicine Health and Fitness Journal found that physical activity during pregnancy reduced the odds of developing depression by 67% and reduced any severity of the depressive symptoms. So just knowing that your hormones are changing so drastically, I think the idea that just being able to move your body and doing something you have already enjoyed is maybe going to help with that is huge.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that is huge, especially like when we look at how common postpartum depression can be and how severe it can be. I've read that study also, and it's really, really interesting to think about what can I do to prevent it now versus what can I do to treat it when it happens.
Yeah, for sure. I always love it when there's a positive outcome that's like significant enough to be like, okay, yes, this is doing something.
Well, then we're going to shift from talking about like the safety and stuff to talking about how to navigate all the changes that your body is going through. Because your body goes through a lot of changes. Kind of like Amanda said, some people feel awful in the first trimester. That's due to progesterone being higher, and that kind of levels off in the second trimester when the placenta takes over a little bit more tasks. But once your progesterone begins to level off and you might not feel sick or fatigued all the time, your body starts producing more relaxin, creating looser joints and ligaments. And obviously your center of gravity shifts, your blood volume changes. That's a very simplified view of it, very short, but it just goes to show that there's already so much going on that you want to navigate.
Yeah, I think relaxin is an interesting one. So this idea that it's creating looser joints and ligaments, and that that actually stays in your body for up to 5 months after. And we talked a lot about that in our postpartum running episode. So if that's the season you're in, go check out that episode for a little more details. But that for me is a reminder that during running through pregnancy, strength training remains important because we're trying to make sure those muscles and everything are able to keep the joints stable when your body is trying to loosen things up a little bit. And this may not be the time for extra yoga because you are already looser. So tons of static stretching might not be useful right now. It could actually hinder your running specifically because think of it this way. If your knee joint is suddenly loose, then that means it's not stable while you're running. So what we actually want is we want your muscles to be sort of like little tight springs while you're running and everything in your joints to stay stable. So definitely keep up with the strength training and maybe just, you know, back off on some of the static stretching.
I agree with that very much. During pregnancy, I was a huge fan. Like I prioritized lifting over running actually when I was pregnant. So I would run like 3 to 4 times a week, lift a little bit more. I think I lifted twice, but then I was also a big fan of prenatal Pilates. And you do want to make sure you find specifically prenatal ones because you don't want to be laying on your back for too long during pregnancy because of how it can cut off venous flow and it can make you feel dizzy and like you're going to pass out. But prenatal Pilates accommodates that, and it really helps with pelvic floor work. It really helps strengthen some of those ligaments around the like abdomen area and pelvis that will be stretching. And if you do like yoga and stuff, like it has that similar like slower flow that can feel really good.
That's such a great recommendation because, yeah, one of the other things, like you mentioned, is your center of balance is shifting a little bit. So that could be creating a little bit more lower back pain. And so being able to do Pilates where you're able to like work all of that core muscle to help you have a little bit more stability and support can be really helpful. It's also a reminder that your risk of falling increases as you are getting further along because your balance is shifting. And it's easy to just sort of not think about that when you're just going about your daily routine and like, well, I always run, but it does mean like you just need to be a little more cautious. One of the other things that I know some of our athletes have really liked was like a belly belt. It makes me laugh because it looks exactly like a weightlifting belt. It is like the same thing. It's just providing more support to your back and hips and everything. So that can be like a really useful tool as well.
It is super useful. And I know they, at least when I was pregnant, they made ones that are also kind of like sports bras for the belly, like the belly band, like stretchy bands. Really the difference is comfort. And the question I often hear is when should I start using it? And it's like, use it as soon as you feel like you need it. Like if you experience any round ligament pain or you're just starting to feel uncomfortable or you just want to try a little bit of extra support, like I feel like for myself and a lot of people I've talked to, once they try it, they wish they had done it sooner, usually when they start showing. So there's no harm in starting to use those sooner rather than later.
Which I think leads to another similar thing of getting a larger sports bra sooner than later. So your breathing actually already becomes a little bit harder. Your oxygen needs are actually higher. Your body is working harder. It's pumping blood everywhere. I mean, it's, you know, you think about all the things that already increase your heart rate. So if you go ahead and get that larger sports bra, you're giving your chest, your diaphragm, the ability to actually expand a little bit better while you're breathing. So I feel like I know I have friends that just waited as long as they could to buy anything. Like, how long can I make these pants stretch? But some of it may actually like benefit you if you just go ahead and get the slightly larger one sooner.
Oh, totally. I ruined like all my sports bras from pregnancy because I like kept like I wouldn't switch up and then they were like getting stretched out and they were unwearable afterwards. And I was like, oh, I should have just sized up. But I was also like, I didn't want to buy a ton of maternity stuff because it's expensive. But it, like you said, it's so worth it, especially if you're invested in running. And chances are you'd need that larger sports bra afterwards, especially if you're breastfeeding.
Another one to just kind of remember is hydration. And I know we harp on this all the time, but the fact that you feel like you need to pee all the time, I find makes it easy for people to sort of play games with themselves. Like, okay, well, I won't drink anything for an hour before I go run, or, you know, whatever it is, so that they can try to avoid that urge to go while they're running. But you just have to stay on top of your hydration. And maybe it means you need to run closer to home or you need to do some treadmill runs because you do just need the bathroom closer by. I mean, there is something obviously pressing on your bladder. So it's a different situation than when we talk about, you know, pelvic floor work previously, but don't try to game this system. Stay on top of your hydration and your fueling.
Absolutely. And your hydration needs are going to go up during pregnancy to support amniotic fluid, your higher blood volume and stuff, and becoming dehydrated is risky in pregnancy, even with things you might not think about like blood clots or affecting amniotic fluid. So yeah, you're probably going to have to pee on runs, play on your routes around bathrooms, but make sure that you are upping that intake with fueling. Also, like, you know, I often tell runners in pregnancy, since your calorie needs are much higher and we want to offset any calories you burn during exercise, like take a gel on any run you feel like you need it, but definitely on something 60 minutes or longer, even if that's not how you did it before pregnancy.
Yep. Super great reminder. What are a couple other tips you like to give your runners?
Yeah. So starting with the first trimester, nausea management is super, super important. And so things like ginger candies can really help control nausea, or ginger chews. But if it is severe and you feel like it's impeding your ability to move, like it doesn't get better when you get up and move, it's all day long, do not hesitate to contact your doctor. There are medications that they can safely give to control nausea. And if you are nauseous and you just don't feel like running that day, don't push yourself through it. Just rest. Get down what food you can. Like, there's no medals for showing up and running through severe morning sickness. Kind of going along with that, whether it's in the first trimester or the third or whenever, walk breaks are your friend. Take them when you need them. If you feel like you're breathing too hard, your heart rate's too high, you just want to take a walk break. Hills get really hard really quick in pregnancy, and walking up them can be super, super helpful. Then also cooling techniques help, especially if you're pregnant and running through the summer, like heavily pregnant running through the summer. We talked about those in, I think it was the marathon pacing episode or something, but using cold water, ice caps, et cetera, to help control your body temp can help. And then finally, your doctor's probably already doing this, but make sure you monitor your iron levels throughout pregnancy. We have a whole episode on iron, and your iron needs are higher, and it's really easy to go anemic during pregnancy. I was taking an iron supplement and I still ended up anemic in pregnancy, and thank goodness my doctor was checking it often.
That's really helpful. I don't feel like I've heard as many of my athletes checking that. So that's a new one for me to make sure that they're doing. One of the other things I'll say is just, we kind of mentioned this at the beginning, but it can change day to day, week to week. And so if you are just feeling awful and run down and you don't go run, don't assume that means, okay, well, my running is done. Like, it's very possible to have a week that doesn't feel good, and then the next week you're like, okay, well, my energy is a little better, I feel pretty good, I'm going to run a little bit again. So really and truly, like we always talk about listening to your body, but now even more so. And this might also be a time where you just go for like an easy walk and see, does that just help me like moving a little bit? Does that make me feel better? It doesn't have to be a run, and don't fear like that you've lost everything. It's going to take some time to come back regardless of what you've done, but your fitness doesn't just completely go away and completely vanish. It's going to be there. Your body will remember the things that you've done. So, you know, if you have to stop running for the majority of your pregnancy, it might take a little longer to build back, but that fitness and that muscle is still there. So do what you can and just don't freak out or fret over it too much.
Oh, absolutely. Like, especially if there's any safety concerns, or especially if you're not feeling good, like you don't want to end up hating running because you forced yourself through it during pregnancy when you felt like garbage. Like, if you prefer to cross train and get on the bike, that's more comfortable, do that. Like, this is not the time to worry about like keeping your PR fitness or whatever.
So in terms of like, if you aren't sure, should I be running or should I not be running? Obviously, like we said, step one is you really need to talk with your OB, specifically sharing your history so they know what's going on. But then otherwise, if you are having things like a lot of pain in your back or your knees or anything where you can tell that now you've really changed your gait, which makes sense, especially later in pregnancy, where again, we said center of balance has shifted, your body is different. And so if you start to notice like, man, I'm really shifting like the entire way I'm running, like that's probably a point where you want to stop, because we're very likely heading into, I could create some injuries with this.
Absolutely. And if you experience like very heavy pelvic floor discomfort, or you are leaking yourself a lot, it's probably worth at least backing off your running load, speaking to your doctor, seeking out a pelvic floor physical therapist. If you experience bleeding when you're running at any point, that's a big red flag to stop. Talk to your doctor right away. You just don't want to risk if there's anything like that. And then like, if you do at any point, you know, you go in for your 20-week anatomy scan and your placenta's in the funny place and your doctor's like, maybe we back off workouts, listen to them when they give you that guidance. They're looking out for your best interest.
So if you are working with a running coach during this period and you feel like they aren't shifting your workouts based on kind of where you're at, that might be a good time to just sort of say, hey, maybe we need to pause right now. So I've seen fantastic coaches who deal with running through pregnancy, and I have seen it sometimes where it terrifies me a little bit because it feels like they're pushing almost just as hard. And I think some of that comes down to the athlete, because you're like, no, I still have these goals. I still want to do these things. And your coach doesn't know exactly how you're feeling if you're not telling them that things are different, or if they're not seeing your heart rate information or things like that. So, you know, it's okay. Even as a running coach, we have people who pause and come back for a variety of reasons. So it's okay to say, I think right now I need to just kind of chill and do my thing and then come back so you can help me back through this.
100%. I have a lot of athletes who do that. They just pause when it doesn't feel comfortable, and that is uplifted and supported.
100%. So hopefully this was another helpful episode, or you just learned some new things. We have talked about doing a full episode on pelvic floor, so drop us a note if that's something you'd like us to talk a little bit more about in depth, and we can dive into that. Otherwise, as always, you can leave us notes on Instagram at @treadlightlyrunning. Let us know if there's a topic you want to hear about or a question you have for an upcoming episode.
And as always, please rate, review, and subscribe on whatever podcast platform you are listening to. And thank you so much for listening to us today. Happy running.